Hello everyone, welcome back to a new episode of Brew with Memory. I'm Mehmet and today we're going to brew our Típica Golden Honey from Pilcocara in Ecuador. This is one of the best farm in the world and I'm very excited to introduce you to a special producer that we've been working for a second year in a row and hopefully a very, very long time. As usual, I'm going to introduce the farm a little bit more, then the process of this lot number two, then a little bit about the roast before we dive in into the brew. So as you may know, this is the second year that we've been working with Pilcocara, and this year's harvest has been incredible. It was actually very hard for me to pick three lots among all the lots that have that we have kept few months ago. A little bit of reminder, about Pilcocara, they are in the region of Azuay, southern Ecuador. Here we have a Típica Varietal. It's the lot number two, produced by Ana Maria and Nicolas Crespo. And the elevation is about 1,700 meters above sea level. And the harvest is between October 2021 and the end of the year. So it's the freshest harvest for 2022. We have introduced the farm last year, but let me kind of refresh your mind. What makes Pilcocara really unique is its first its location and how the area is really privileged with a very lush nature. It has one of the best terroir you can ever imagine. Pilcocara coffee is grown around, let's say, 1,700 meters above sea level with naturally under an old tree, they named it Ficus, and that gives natural shade. So it's shade grown coffee. And it's also not just for the shade and the slow growth, but it's also home of a lot of biodiversity of birds and spiders. Those that find home in those trees are actually helping the coffee plants against certain disease. And it's a really entire ecosystem that goes well together. It's also fed with a natural spring that are formed in the highest part of the mountain. So you have really an entire sort of biodiversity around around this farm. And without that, really the nature is what makes Pilcocara really special. That's why they're not using extensive machinery and no toxic fertilizers here. They're using the sun, the earth, and the natural minerals found there, as well as water, right, that's coming from this natural spring. That's one part that makes Pilcocara really special. The other one is the people. The people and the quality control assurance and every attention to the detail makes each and every lot unique here. And you'll be able to taste it, how distinctive those flavors are. Every details, every bit of data is used in order to take what nature has to offer and preserve it. Basically, that's what we're doing, right? For a coffee farmer, a coffee roaster, a coffee brewer, we want to get the best out of it. Coffee gets only, unfortunately, worse as it is passed on. So they've been doing an incredible work on preserving the goodness of it by putting a lot of time, a lot of effort and passion into quality control and quality assurance. So it's not just naturally privileged, but it's also expertly made by a great team of producers as well as pickers that we often don't talk about, but it's a very very detailed work that they've been trained and providing uniquely ripe cherries there. Okay, let's and for more information about the background and the history of Pilcocara, check out our website. There's a little paragraph about how it's been created, et cetera, et cetera. But let's dive in a little bit into these lots. So here, lot number two is a Golden Honey Típica. Típica, for a little bit of information, is basically the heirloom Ethiopian varietals that the Dutch took in Yemen and planted in the colonies in Sumatra and Suriname. That's how Tipican was created. And then it was planted everywhere else in the world and find home here in Ecuador. So Tipica has kind of genetically related to the Ethiopian land grass varieties as well. So it's maybe like a cousin, sort of. So for this lot, it has been harvested by 40 women from the valley, so it's local labor, and they pop the coffee and place it directly on the most ventilated African beds in the room on a single layer. And this is really important because it ensures homogeneity of drying and moisture content. It's really incredible how I check moisture content every week and a different part of the coffee bag, and it's always the same. For this one, I think it's about 11.7% moisture content. It really doesn't change. This is not just like a number that ensures consistency, because it also helps me be consistent in my roast. Like, I don't have to change too many things. And it ensures a consistent taste at the end as well. Versus when you just pile up, you're less kind of careful. Well, then, as a roaster, I need to kind of vaguely try to adapt the roast to find the same flavor balance. Here, my work has been really, really almost easy to do because the work that they've been doing is just incredible. So that's attention to the details. You find it in consistency. And we know, especially if you are in the coffee industry, that consistency is king, whether it's pulling shots, roasting batches, or in this case, producing outstanding coffees. Okay, and now, just before we start brewing it, let's talk about the roast a little bit. So, here we have a relatively fast roast of around 9 minutes, sometimes 9 minutes, 9 minutes and 10 seconds. It's a very light roast. So here we are in the light roast section for both our filter and our espresso profiles. We have a development time of only 1 minute and a temperature delta of about 5 degrees. So we are kind of in the kind of right once the first crack is reducing. That's where we are dropping our coffee. So it's a very, very light color in this case, and that's why I always suggest for a lighter roast to let it kind of breathe a little bit more. Maybe a week of the roast, you will find a perfect the perfect profile. Right, so we have like a crack about 8 minutes. I'll just pull up right now my cursor so I can give you real-time data. So we have the crack about 8 minutes. We extend for about a minute 10, and the total duration about 9 minutes, 5 seconds, sometimes 9 minutes, 10 seconds for me to reach that end temperature, targeted temperature. And we have a relatively short development time. For espresso, I'll let it let the same end temperature, but I will extend it for 30 seconds to just mute down the acidity. Okay, for this coffee, let's now brew it. We have really interesting flavor notes of papaya, citrus fruits, sugarcane, and sweet spices. The idea behind the Picocaja sample lots and the tasting sets that we will release is an invitation to travel, to discover new flavors. And what makes that really unique with Picocaja is that you can really taste those flavors. It's really easy for anyone to taste all those little flavor notes. Sometimes it's hard for coffee lovers to taste what the roaster has put in a bag. That's because we are coffee professionals and we still need to improve in our communication with flavor notes. But in this case, it's really easy to pick up those notes. And the first one, this love number two, is that an invitation to travel where you have a sweet aspect with a sugarcane and sweet spices, and then a more modern exotic traveler's sort of notes with tropical fruits like papaya and citrus fruit like lime and mandarin and orange, etc. So we're gonna start with a here I use a pullover. I'm using a V60. It can work also with a Calera or flat bottom brewers, but I like the cleanliness it offers with a cone shape. We're gonna kind of up the ratio, right? Instead of a classic 60 grams per liter, I'm using 63 grams per liter, and I'm using 13 grams of coffee with 200 grams of water at 94 degrees. So usually nowadays I was really into the 92 degrees temperature. Here I'm using slightly hotter temperature because this is a very light roast, so there's no risk of having too much there's no bitterness at all in this coffee, and you'll see. Okay, the recipe is really simple. It's basically 4 times 50 grams every 30 seconds, and we are trying to finish before 2 minutes and 45 seconds here. The grind size is going to be actually quite coarse for this small dose. I'm using here on a Barazza that will be about 19. On a Comandante, we are about 25, and somewhere between 50 and 55 on the red clicks. And on the Ditting, or if you have any kind of measurements with the microns, I'm at 7.7-ish. So about 770 microns, I guess. All right, let's do that with our V60. So I'm pouring quite aggressively, basically, my 50 grams of coffee. Prior to that, I always rinse my paper with about 100 grams of water. And here you will notice that this is a coffee similar to a light roasted Ethiopians or geisha or washed geisha, where it can clog sometimes. That's why we tend to use slightly coarser grind size, my second pour now, and hotter temperature to mitigate that. That's also why I'm using smaller dose. With a smaller dose, I can really compact those flavors and avoid as much as possible any kind of bypass, any clogging, by not kind of agitating too much, or should I say no, without kind of using a too deep coffee bed. At 1 minute, I'm pouring my third pour of 50 grams. Every pour, it should be very, very quick, within 7 seconds. The last pour will be to 200 at 1 minute and 30 seconds, and then you should kind of slowly drip. It will take some time, and I experience some clogging with a Calera filter sometimes. But if you have a Origami or April Brewer, something with a larger hole on the bottom dripper, flat bottom dripper, that helps a lot. On the Calera, you may experience some clogging. And I'm done here pouring this coffee. And here you really, really recognize a very, very light amber color of the coffee. That's why this is a very short roast and light roast. The development time ratio is about 13%, and we have a weight loss of 13.2%. So we're really on the lower hand of the development here, and that's to accentuate that balance between those fruits and the sweetness. It's a very sweet cup of coffee, but here I really wanted to also get those papaya notes, the tropical fruit notes. But the thing is, you see, papaya is or any other tropical fruit in general are quite soft. Some are very soft, so that's why I really wanted to accentuate those by having a shorter short development time. And here we are done about just clogging a little bit towards the end, and it's entirely fine. And I'm done about 2 minutes and 40 or 52 seconds here. I tend to call it done whenever I see the top of the coffee bed dry. I tend to just finish it there. I don't let the last drop. For having, if you ever try to kind of taste the last part, it's a very dry and very kind of bitter aspect of it. So here I cut it right before, in general, with all my coffees. And so now we're done about just about 10 seconds longer than planned, but it's fine. So on the nose here, you have extremely sweet spices notes. It's very sweet. You have really the sweet, the sort of lemony and kind of sugarcane. It's very more sweet forward on the aroma. You don't have more have this like citrus kick that you will have once it cools down, but the first smell is really like sweet spices, sugarcane, bits of stone fruits, or not stone fruits, but melon, papaya, those kind of tropical fruits, but not really, not too much. And here I know I should wait a little bit, but I cool it down on glasses so I can taste it. And now when you taste it, you get that mix of sugarcane, but the citrus fruits and the tropical fruits comes right away. It's a very complex and balanced cup of coffee. The aftertaste is very clean, very soft, not super long, to be honest, but very it's almost like you can drink over and over on the aftertaste. That's why you have a little bit more of those sweet spices and even a slight chocolate on the after you swallow, so on the long aftertaste. Here you have a very bright and juicy acidity. It's a very structured one. It's not like a zesty, spiky one. It's quite juicy and bright in general, but not on one dimensional. And here it's really a balanced cup with a very syrupy body. It's not super light. It's not also very heavy, but it's like in that juicy, syrupy aspect. And it's what we call a balanced cup of coffee. It's a coffee that has sweetness, acidity, body, and aftertaste all kind of working together. Nobody tries to steal the show. And that's something I love about this coffee. And as it cools down, you start having a little bit more papaya and fruitier notes. So when hot, you have kind of all the balance. When it's more warm, you start having much more citrus fruits as well as papaya, and a colder, then the sweet spices and the sort of sugarcane comes back at the end. It's a very unique cup of coffee. I also have a recipe for immersion and for espresso, but just a little bit about the flavor recommendation. Those pairs really well with berries, apricot, apple, but also lemongrass. If you like nuts, I'll suggest pecan or pecan, or I never know which is the right pronunciation. For spices, that's where it's become hard. It's very hard to pair spices with coffee, but that one you can pair with musk, nutmeg, cardamom, and be careful on the star anise. Just don't put too much of those on the spices when you pair it with coffee. Interestingly, it also pairs well with savory food. Salads like with olives or garlic. Once again, this is just like as a kind of flavor, kind of ingredient. It's not just, I'm not asking you to eat the garlic with this coffee. It just pairs well with any dish that has some garlic. And dessert, I don't like this coffee with very rich dessert, like big chocolate cakes or super dark chocolates, but a more lighter approach, like a honey yogurt as well, but also like a fluffy cake. There's some nice, very pound cakes or fluffy honey cakes on Japanese stores, for example. Those pair extremely well with this coffee. And now that's a little bit kind of more warm, you have like this full citrusy and papaya with the sweets, and those pairs really, really well with coffees. It's a very unique cup of coffee. So we scored up 188.75, and that's our first introduction to Pilcocaja, and with this unique lot, the lot number two, that is to me like really the flagship coffee that showcase the this is like the basics of Pilcocaja. So you can imagine what they can do when this is a starting level, and we will have that in another episode of Brew with Emily, perhaps a video in the coming weeks. So thank you very much, and see you next time on another episode.